In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you were here, you know that we also celebrated the resurrection of Peter. Yes, the one who first disbelieved Jesus when Jesus foretold Peter's denial. And then, after the women came from the empty tomb and told what others believed to be an idle tale, we see the resurrection of Peter, who now is a believer in the marvelous things that Jesus might do. He ran to the tomb and took a look inside and saw that there was just a linen cloth. And it said he returned home amazed. Resurrection is about being transformed. It's about changing into something new and being willing to see and understand things differently. The Easter lectionary always provides, in place of the Old Testament lesson, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It might better be called the Acts of Peter and Paul, since those are the two that are featured in that story, the continuation of Luke's gospel. Last Sunday, we hear from Peter. Having experienced the resurrection of Jesus, he says to the Gentiles, "Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And then today's reading, again, we encounter Peter, this time a little earlier in the story, and he's talking with the Israelites, not the Gentiles. He's taking on the work that began in Jesus. He and the apostles have been out. They've been proclaiming the message, and people are bringing the lame and the ill. And these apostles are healing them. The stories are very reminiscent of what we heard Jesus doing throughout the Gospels. And now it's the apostles, those who have been sent out. That's what apostle means, to be sent. They have shifted from the disciples, who are the learners, to the apostles, who have gone out and been sent. And they, as resurrected people living in the experience of the resurrected Christ, are now healing others and proclaiming forgiveness for all, including the Israelites. And not unlike Jesus, they too are challenged by the authorities of the day, having already been thrown in prison twice by this fifth chapter, and yet having been released by the angels, and we're back in the temples proclaiming who Jesus was yet again. And the authorities come and they say, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than human authority. God raised up and exalted Jesus that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This gift of the Holy Spirit is talked about in John's gospel that we heard today. With the disciples in the upper room, Jesus saying, "Peace be with you," as they were frightened, and then breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we won't hear the reading of the alighting of the Holy Spirit until we get to the 50th day of Easter, Pentecost. And yet, throughout the story of the Acts of the Apostles, what empowers them, what emboldens them to continue the work that Jesus began is this gift of the Holy Spirit. And believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is still at work today. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth, of God's truth, of who God is. Peter and the apostles are sharing this new way of understanding God. They've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and through it, they are attempting to do what hadn't been done before, to tear down the boundaries that existed between the faith traditions of the people living among one another. For them, they were saying that God is big enough for both the Israelites and the Gentiles. God's love is not only for the powerful, but is also for the poor and for those who have been considered outcasts. This message was threatening to those who guard the status quo tightly. The next verse after what we heard from the Acts of the Apostles today says, "When the council heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them." Anger born of fear of something unfamiliar. Understanding God differently has been threatening to people for all time. We saw evidence of that continuing to be perpetuated last Sunday in Sri Lanka. And unfortunately, we saw evidence of it yesterday in a synagogue outside of San Diego. We've seen it with attacks on mosques in New Zealand, in the Tree of Life Synagogue attack last October, on Sikh temples in Wisconsin. We see it again and again and again. The Holy Spirit is a gift that helps us discern who and how God is. Those who commit these atrocities aren't discerning in the same way that most of their religion discerns. Those who are committing these acts are on the extreme edge of their tradition. Some of those are claiming to be in the same faith tradition to which we ascribe. It's a head scratcher. Barbara Brown Taylor, some of y'all may know who she is. I admit I did not know who she was until I moved to Atlanta, because that's her stomping ground. She is an author and much more than that. She's recently written the book called Holy Envy. Now, in it, she reminds us that she grew up unchurched. Her parents had a poor opinion of religion. So they were raised to believe in higher education, not a higher power. And she shared that when she was 15, she told her mother that she wanted to be baptized. And her mother said, "You'll get over it." Well, for those who know who she is, they know that she didn't get over it. As a matter of fact, when she got her driver's license, she drew a circle and found all the churches within a 10-mile radius and visited different churches until she ultimately landed in an Anglo-Catholic Episcopal church. Later, pursuing a Master's of Divinity and then becoming an Episcopal priest. And after 15 years serving in that capacity, she then wrote a book called Leaving Church. Having found for herself that she was focused more on the well than the living water, a well that she continued to go to and yet found wanting. And so in recent years, she's been a professor of religion at a small liberal arts school called Piedmont College in Northeast Georgia. And in this book, she acknowledges the complexities of an increasingly diverse world and shared that while she does teach some of those other basic religion classes, the one she teaches most often is religions of the world, and that she has fallen for every religion she teaches. She shared that the initial vision of this book, Holy Envy, was the plan was to narrate what my students learned, how they learned it, and why it was important for you to learn it too. At least if you want to make sense of a dizzying new world in which you live. She said, I wanted to offer insights that would not cost you anything. I wanted to make life easier for you. She added, fortunately, that book refused to be written. What took its place is a book about the teacher of the class, not the students, and what she learned about the high cost of seeing the divine mystery through other people's eyes. That's as far as I've gotten in the book. But I'm looking forward to exploring the mystery that she has seen through other people's eyes. Peter and the apostles revealed God through new eyes, through eyes that were transformed with the experience of resurrection. They paid a high cost for that. And we, as apostles of now, we have an opportunity to also write our own story, our own acts of living a life of seeing Christ and proclaiming Christ's love in the world in which we live. It's not always easy work. It's easy when we're all in here together. We come and we are enriched. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and be part of this time of our discerning. But then we go out and we're in the world among people with different views and different thoughts. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit as our helper. In John's gospel, they use the term our advocate. Somebody, the person of God that continues to reveal God to us in those things that we encounter. It sustains us. But more than that, the gift of the Holy Spirit is intended to compel us to share God's love, to share it fully, to share it unselfishly with others, with all others, regardless of how they understand God, We are called to love all people. Amen.